Good afternoon. This is Dave Evans. Welcome to the Gist of Freedom radio show. I'd like to give a thanks to Leslie Gist. And today we'll be talking to Mr. Marlon Weir of Southern African Tours. Mr. Weir, are you there?
It's not a Mr.
Oh, it's Mrs. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's not a Mrs. either. It's a Ms.
Okay. Ms.
Yes.
Well, thank you for correcting me.
No problem.
Now, well, so can you tell the listeners your name then?
My name is Marlene Weir.
Marlene
Weir.
Okay.
Right.
Mrs. Marlene Weir.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're the owner of Southern African Tours?
No, it's not. Actually, we're taking a Southern African tour. You know, we're going to two countries in Southern Africa. The name of an organization that I am the director of is called THRED, and it's an organization that has been doing trips to, well, we basically have been going to Ghana every April, and this year we've decided to go to, so we're still doing our mission in Ghana, but this year we're going to Southern Africa, to Mozambique, Swaziland, and to South Africa, where I've gone before, and where we're going to be looking for, you know, a school or an orphanage, a medical facility that we feel as though we could try to help.
Okay, now when you say try to help, in what way are you trying to help them?
Well, actually what we've done in the past, like what we've done in Ghana, we've raised money to, we had a well dug, we bought furniture for a school, we've paid for children's school uniforms, school fees, we've helped orphans with some health issues, we've assisted AIDS patients, we've bought a generator for a hospital, we've bought wheelchairs, we've bought mosquito nets. So on our way in looking and learning the history and the culture, we also look for people that we can help that are less fortunate. I've had, like, students, really, it's where it started, as a high school teacher, and I began taking students through their senior service. It was a part of their senior service and a part of their community service to reach out and help others, and they wanted to go beyond their community, and they wanted to do a real outreach abroad. And so I had traveled many times to Ghana, and so that's where we decided to go. And so we had done that for quite a few years, being a performing arts group, too, because I'm an art teacher, visual arts teacher, but I also work with plays. I worked with the plays at the high school. I worked with a dance program at the high school. And I just enjoy the performing arts.
Now, this is a nonprofit organization that you have that does this?
Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit organization. So right now this is just a trip, getting a group of people together that may have an interest in it's a vacation, but it's not really a vacation because, you know, we get to know the people. We, you know, there's even parts of it that if you were interested in going and you really wanted to do something specific, like one of the gentlemen that's going with us has always wanted to go and live with the people for a period of time. So he's going to be able to do that. He's going to stay in a hut in a rural village and really see what it's like the day in the life of an African that lives in a rural area.
Mm, interesting. Now, is there a certain kind of people that you're looking for to go on this trip with you, or is it students, is it business people, or is it just open-minded people that you're looking for?
Open-minded people, people that get along with other people that have an interest in, you know, reaching out with other people that are easy to get along with. You have to be 21 or older. If not, you have to be, supervised by an adult.
And obviously in good health.
Yeah, in good health, but, you know, that's, have you ever been to Africa?
I have not.
Yeah, so that's what I think is very important, too, because especially Southern Africa in some places are better than any place that I've ever been in the United States.
So what are
you can see why folks wanted Southern Africa, the beauty, and then they built, there's the roads are there, the trains, transportation you have, they're fabulous hotels they have there. Cape Town Airport, I've never been, and I've traveled, gone through anyway Europe to get to Africa anyway, and seen some, nice airports, but nothing compared to the airport in Cape Town. It's just gorgeous.
So, what are
so
some
you
of
can
the
see why folks wanted to go, why they wanted that land.
What are some of the living conditions that you've experienced there since you've been gone?
Personally?
How about the residents of Ghana, per se?
You can see from very poor, very poor too, because I've dealt with homeless people. There are people like when I say an orphan doesn't necessarily, when we say orphan in this country, we think of somebody that has neither parent. This could be a case they could have both their parents, but the parents can't take care of them, or they could have one parent and the parent can't take care of them and the grandparent can't take care of them, and they're brought just like back in, I don't know, in storybooks that I've read, because I never really knew that people were really left in a basket at the orphanage door. And even the way the orphanages work, that a child can stay in an orphanage until they're 3 years old, and after that, if someone doesn't come to either adopt this child or whatever, the child could end up on the street. And some of the orphanages are, like I work with one that's called the Mother Teresa Orphanage, and that's what happens there.
Hmm. So is it the politics there that why it's like that, or is it just not enough businesses there to generate money?
Well, there's a lot of people in a country like Ghana. Ghana has oil. Ghana has gold. It was called the Gold Coast, whatever, but it's not going to the people. So it's one of those kinds of things. They're building roads, like every time I go there, I see improvements. The roads are being built by Japanese. The roads are being built by Chinese folks, So you see a lot more Europeans coming, a lot more Chinese are there. Every year I go, I see more and more people from those different countries or whatever. Right now there's been a growing African-American population. I've met a number of people that have relocated to Ghana have lived there, or I think it's kind of hard to become a citizen of the country, but I've met a number of African-Americans that have lived there and have started small businesses or whatever, but not enough, And Ghana is the same way. You can be rich. You can see the very rich, and they're very beautiful homes. And there's last time I was there, last couple of years, there was a shop right now. And, I'm glad that I don't see McDonald's isn't there, but Kentucky Fried Chicken is there, So you see, you see both sides. You see poor, and but one thing you do see is folks that don't have as much, and that's what I really loved my students seeing. Folks that don't have, just like you might have heard when you hear people like the smile on their face and they don't have anything, they don't have, like we figured we wouldn't be smiling if we didn't know where our next meal was coming from, or if our water's not clean, or if we're going to get malaria tomorrow or whatever, where they are smiling and they seem a lot more joyful than we are.
Now, you say there's a lot of, outsourcing there as far as for the businesses and stuff, Asians and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Is it because I know it's like that here in the United States as well.
Well, because they see, that there are, these resources that are there that they can make money off of. Like I said, there's oil. They were saying the last time, maybe last year or whatever, I think they found that there was more oil in Ghana than there is in Nigeria. And then that's during the times the past 7 years that I've gone. I think 2 or 3 years ago is when Bush was there or whatever, and Bush was there meeting with the Chinese, and that's when the whole discussion was coming up about how the United States has an interest in more interest in Ghana and the Chinese, and the thing was about oil, because they had discovered oil, more oil than they thought they had, and then Ghana again is known, their gold mines, and the South Africans, the white South Africans, are own the gold mines of Ghana. So the gold that comes out of the gold mines that these black Ghanaians are going down in the gold mines and getting sick or whatever, that gold belongs to South Africa. I think it's crazy.
So have you ran into any natives that have their own companies there and own businesses there that is thriving?
No, I have
not.
I have not run into. I've been trying to create our own business. That's one thing because there's a lot of begging, and I scratch my head because I'm like, the place that I'm trying to help is called Nentonso, and it's the Adinkra village. I don't know if you're familiar with Adinkra symbols, and it's stuff. It's this printmaking process that's put on fabric, and it's very popular, and it's even come to this country very popular. I don't know who's making money off of it, because the Adinkra village is not making money. That's the place where I bought the furniture for the school, because they were sitting on concrete floors, where I buy them school fees or their lunches, like a bowl of black eyed peas and rice. And that costs, I think, like 50 cents a day. So, you know, we buy that for them and their school uniform. If you don't have school uniform, that's where we dug a well. And the well, the water is supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be getting a well, but we've been hearing that for years now. The government is supposed to be doing this whole thing about water and helping with that whole situation. But we had to go in and dig this well for these folks because the water wasn't, you know, the water's not clean. So, but yet I'm saying that they know this process of printing on fabric, and it's popular, and a stop on the tourists. If you go to Ghana, you're going to go to the Adinkra village and you're going to watch the process, and these people are dirt poor and they beg.
Now, what about the teaching? How is the teaching there? Is it the teachers that are just not up to par?
I don't know about the teachers being not up to par, but I know that they're definitely underpaid, way underpaid. Way.
Sounds like United States.
Way. Well, that's kind of because you got to do the comparison, because they say the kind of you're lucky if you're making $500 in Ghana. So that's another thing.
Even
I
trade
teach folks
schools.
That,
I say even trade schools. Do they have trade schools there?
Yeah, they have trade schools. They're getting very much into computers. You know, we're sponsoring a student. He's getting ready to graduate from a technical school to be an IT. We helped him through high school, and now he's getting ready to be an IT. He lives in the Kinte Weavers Village, and you know that you've heard of Kinte, right?
Correct, right.
All right, and you know how expensive that is?
I don't know how expensive it is, but I have heard of it.
Okay, well, it's quite expensive. If you bought it here, you know, whatever, it's very expensive. A couple of $100 you could easily spend for a piece of Kinte. And the Kinte Weavers Village, the folks, it's poor. They're poor, and they're the ones who make it.
Now, I know Oprah does a lot of stuff out there. Have you ran into her or networked with her?
No, I've never been able to connect with Oprah. So if you have a way of connecting with Oprah, let me know. You know, we've emailed because members of my group and students and whatever, and we've never gotten through to Oprah. Or I just was hearing about how somebody said something about it's easier to go through Gail, so that might be a heads up on maybe trying to get through Gail.
Now, also, I've heard of some organizations where you can donate wells to like people like to families in Ghana or cities in Ghana. Mm-hmm. And as well as South Africa and stuff like that. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I know that I've heard about the project that deals with mosquito netting, because that's very important, because that's like the flu for us is malaria for them.
So how many times have you been there?
Oh, maybe about 10, 12 times.
So the people are very familiar with your face and with you and what your work there that you do.
Right, the people that I, you know, continue to work with, yeah.
So what is it that they say that they want, they would like for you to help them do or bring when you come back or on your trips?
Every time it's something different. Because they have television and stuff, so they see the popular things that you know, they're becoming westernized. They see the popular things that, you know, right now maybe it's it was iPods a minute ago. So they'll ask for stuff like that. But I come from, you know, what do you need, not what do you want.
Right.
You know, we have a whole thing about that, you know.
What do they say that they need?
Yeah, that's what I tell them what they need. I have you know, because if it deals with water, oh, you want an iPod, but yet your village doesn't have clean water. You know, because it's not, we don't have a lot of money. It's right. This year was horrible in terms of fundraising. You know, I'm a retired teacher now, so I no longer have that school, whatever. And then with schools, so many cutbacks. They came from, like, you know, fundraising in the building called for police officers and administrators to stay after, and all of that got cut back. Clubs got cut back or whatever. So a lot of things, because we came out of, you know, me being a teacher, then now this year I've retired, so I don't have that same thing. So now we talked about kind of, my group has always talked about, like the council that we have, about going to Southern Africa. So that's why, you know, we came from doing the Southern Africa trip. Keeping our commitment in Ghana, because we have a little girl that was 7 years old when I first met her. That was 2 years ago, and she was deaf. She is deaf. She's still deaf. And she wasn't able to go to school because in the rural village that she lived in, there is no school for the deaf, and she wasn't learning anything. So she would watch the other children go off to school, and she just sat in the hut with her mom, or, you know, wherever her mother would go out and work in the garden. So we found, when we ran into this little girl, we heard about her situation. We fundraised, and now we're paying for her tuition every year to go to, it's in Cape Coast, where her this boarding school is for the deaf, where she is. This is her second year, and so we're committed to continuing to pay for her to go to school until she graduates. And
well,
then
let's tell some of the viewers some of the ideas that you guys have to help raise money, and maybe we can get that out there and get some help for you.
Well, that, I guess, is our situation about different ways. In the past, it has been like fundraisers. Like we had a talent show at the high school, you know. We also had a fashion show that did quite well. We recently had an auction. When I went to Ghana the last time, I purchased a lot of things from Ghana and then came back and had an auction. And that didn't really raise that much money. It's going to pay for this little girl to continue to go to the school for the deaf, but if anyone has any other, we've tried to do things like go and teach the Ghanaian people how to do something, because my whole idea is, like, my father had always wanted me to be, all his children to be self-sufficient, so that's what we wanted, or I really wanted for the Ghanaians, because I said there's a lot of begging, and they've got such talent and skill that they don't need to beg. If they created something that then, you know, on our side, we could help. Them with you know, manufacturing it. I mean, they would manufacture it. We could sell it for them, and then the monies would go back to them to help them with the schools and with the help and the other needs that they have, like health needs.
We need to get your word out here in Hollywood to help, because there's a lot of stars and a lot of money out here, and a lot of people with money out here that want to adopt kids from there, or help send money there to help the schools and poverty and such things. What do you think about that?
That's great. I mean, I wish I did know of some celebrity. I'm really kind of tired of, even the folks in Ghana will say to me, they're waiting on, you know, some savior to come and save them, and I really feel like, you know, that they can save themselves, you know, and
right.
Yes, they need a push or some help, you know, and whatever, however I can do it. I'm really a little tired of it always coming from, never coming, most of the time anyway, like you mentioned, Oprah. But there aren't, I'm just a regular African-American person just trying to help. You know, I wish there were more African-Americans that, you know, maybe had some money that could, like Bono and folks like that, you hear.
Well, there's only, you know, you being one person, you know, you can only do so much. You can't, you know, cure it all. But there's organizations here, because I'm in Los Angeles, I'm in Hollywood, but there's organizations here that are nonprofit as well that can help you raise money for your nonprofit for your cause.
Well, that would be fantastic. But how do I get to them?
Well, we'll talk about that off the air. I want to hear more about your experiences traveling and over in Ghana and South Africa. What has been so far your most memorable experience?
I don't know. I've had so many of them. The canopy walk is something that I always made the students do as a challenge. The canopy walk is these high bridges that are high up, and you walk in the rainforest high up a mountain. And then they started off by telling us it was used in that Crocodile Dundee, that kind of the bridge that you see in that film. You know what I'm talking about? It's a very thin, narrow bridge high up in the rainforest, and these, you know, like you go from one tree, which are these huge, giant-like trees. So it's very scary, you know. So, and that's the whole, I make that into a challenge for everybody to kind of go through that process. Another thing we do is I've fed a crocodile some chicken and, you know, sat on his back. That was kind of cool. And then just the experiences that are the people that I've met that are, you know, just the stories that I've heard that are so moving, like the story I told you about the little girl that is deaf, and I'm just so proud of myself and my group for helping that little girl, you know, out. Somebody went and found that story and brought that story back, and then we help that little girl every year. And there's so many other children. Like, we had a little girl that was hydrocephalic, so that's like water on the brain. And she was going to die. And we came back home, and we raised the money for that little girl. And she got an operation. And the last time we went, we saw her, and she's going to survive. So
those are the kind
like,
of stories that people need to hear. That would want to, you know, help raise money or send money. What's your contact information as far as getting in touch with you or your organization?
Well, my email is the best way, I guess, to reach me, which is mware.thread@gmail.com.
And the name of your organization again is?
Thread.
Thread?
Thread, like a needle and thread.
Okay. I mean, we're trying to get the people to email you and get in contact with you, whichever
way. If
they're
interested in going to Southern Africa, our trip takes place on August the 11th through the 26th. And the cost, I've got a really great cost. It's a 16-day or 15-day trip. It's $36.76 for double occupancy. And they might be interested in that. I will send them out the itinerary, and they can check that out. It's a part of it is safari. We're going to Mandela's home. We're going to Robben Island. We're going to, I don't know if a lot of folks are familiar with the Ndebele people. Those are the people that paint those beautiful designs on their homes. We're going to Kruger Park. I think I mentioned the safari. We're going to Swaziland. That's one of the last monarchies in the world or whatever. We're just going to experience a lot of different things. We're going to school.
Okay. Well, that's it for our show, Ms. Weir.
Okay.
Definitely, I would love to help you out in any way that I can, and we'll be talking off the line, actually. I'll get your information from Ms. Leslie. And this is the Gist of Freedom Radio Show, and we really thank you for being a guest today.
Thank you very much, and have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.